Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. We have an insert for Cody, who's filling us. Is that Schwichtenberg? All those years in German class were good for something. Thanks, Cody, for being here. We want to welcome him as he comes and brings the Word of God. He's a third-year student, right?
Yes.
At Heidelberg Seminary. So please pray for him that God would fill him and equip him and speak to us through him. Let's hear the call to worship. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this Sabbath day, and ask that you would fill us with your Spirit and equip us to worship you, to glorify Christ Jesus, that he would be glorified here in our midst, and that we would be built up in our faith. That when we depart from here, we might be enabled to live for Christ in the week to come. Fill our brother with your Spirit. And speak to us through his lips. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into
temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. Let us confess our confession of faith this morning using the Nicene Creed, and we can find that on page 846. Congregation, what do you believe?
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of gods, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made by men. He was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now, with the confidence we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's come before our Lord in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with, and we pray that you'll continue to be with us and help us, continue to confess these things that we believe, even in the face of persecution and trials. And Lord, as we come before this day to hear your word, may you grant us a cheerful heart. For Lord, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 4. And that can be found in your pew Bible on page 625. And in Mark 4, we will be reading about that famous parable we all know and love, the parable of the sower. And we will be reading the first 20 verses. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ,
give your undivided attention to the reading of God's most holy word. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teachings, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see but not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven of them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, and those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Thus ends the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing to it. Now that we have heard the word of the Lord, let us now come before him in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for this day that you have made and that you have created. And we thank you that we not only have creation to see your attributes, but you have given us your word to know who you are and to know that we need a Savior and who that Savior is. And we know that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for sending him to die on our behalf so our sins may be covered by his blood. And Lord, we know that it was through the preaching of your word and the work of your Spirit that you have sown into our hearts and you have transformed us and made us a new creation. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with us as we constantly deal with aspects of hard soil or thorny soil or stony soil that may be somewhat intermixed with the good. But we pray that through your word, through your Spirit, that you will make even the hardest of hearts softened to respond to your word. And Lord, we pray that you will make us responsive and that you'll continue to nourish our hearts through your word and also through prayer. We thank you for authority that you have placed over us. And we know that you have placed them in a place, people in authority over us for our benefit and for our good, so that we may live a quiet and peaceful life for your glory. We pray that you will grant wisdom and honesty to our government officials. And we pray that they will govern rightly. But we also pray for those who are in authority in this church, who are shepherds of your sheep. Give them strength to conduct business according to your will and according to your spirit. And may you grant them strength to shepherd your sheep, because it is not an easy task, but it is a wonderful one. And Lord, we pray for mission works. We pray for wherever they may be, in the United States or across the world. We pray that through them, you may strengthen them, and may they be continue to be built up spiritually through your word, but through the preaching, that more will come to attend and more will come to know your truth. We pray for seminaries that build up and teach future pastors. Be with them. Help them with their studies. Help them be prepared for their ordination exam or their licensure exams. Help them, because it is only by your grace and your mercy that they can remember those things. Lord, we also pray for those who are in the military, who fight for our freedom. We pray that you will be with them and your sovereign hand will protect them. We also pray for this church. For Lord, you know the needs of this church. You know whether they're struggling physically, financially, spiritually, or emotionally. Be with them. Grant them your grace and grant them what they need, O Lord. And as sinners, we know we are righteous in Christ, not by what we have done. And forgive us of our many sins, for we know that we struggle with those sins each and every day. And forgive us of those sins. Finally, Lord, may your Spirit apply your truth to your people. May you help me speak rightly and according to your word and your truth. And above all things, we give you the glory and honor and praise. For it's in Jesus' name, for his sake, we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, living in the Midwest, we've all become very used to seeing corn grow in the fields. But have you ever sat and wondered how important it truly is to have the proper soil? Now, we need farmers to fertilize and till and prepare that soil. But we know that sometimes stormy weather comes. Sometimes it's a severe drought. Sometimes it's a severe rainfall. And because of those storms in our world, some soil becomes unfruitful and bad. But even though when those storms come, there is still good soil that produces corn or produces beans. In our scripture passage this morning, Jesus tells one of his most famous parables to a very large crowd. In this parable, we see a sower throwing seeds on four different types of soil. Three of these soils are unfruitful, unfertilized, untilled. They have weeds, they have rocks, they are hard. But then we have good soil that has been fertilized, been taken care of, and properly prepared for the harvest. This morning, we will look at this parable and look at these soils and see that these are four different types of hearers that even can be found within God's church. One of the greatest benefits of this parable, though, is that Jesus explains it to his disciples, explains it so they understand that this represents the kingdom of God. In his explanation, we know that the preacher is the sower of the word, and the seed is the word of God that falls upon the hearts of men. But then the hearts of men are the soils, the different soils, some fruitful and some unfruitful. And the first soil that Jesus speaks of, we can find it in verses 3 and 4. Jesus says to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." This type of soil is a soil that is upon the side of the road, and the seed had fallen upon it. And like a paved road that is hard as a rock, so was this soil. The seed landed on it and had no chance of finding a home within it because it was so hard. All it could really do is sit upon the surface and await for the birds to come and eat it till there was nothing left. These are the hard-hearted hearers. Yes, outwardly, they hear the word, but the word goes in one ear and out the other. They may sit in church, might be distracted, may think preaching is a waste of time. They might sit and daydream about how they could be fishing on Sunday morning. Or there might be some who sit in the pews waiting for the wishing that they were on the couch or waiting for the football game to start up at noon. Not only do these hearers become distracted, but they might also have anger towards the word and the message that is being preached. They might say, "What do you mean that I am a sinner? I know I'm a good person. I know God would accept me." They might also say, "What do you mean that Jesus is the only way? I know plenty of good people who aren't Christians that I know will go to heaven." But just like there is no hope for the word to find a place within their hearts, there is no hope for these hearers unless first the Holy Spirit softens their heart so that they may become responsive to the word. For we know that hope can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to place our hope, our focus, or trust in anything else would be hopelessness, which would lead us down a road to hell. The Pharisees, they were a great example of a hard-hearted hearer. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with the gospel message that he was preaching. And often, these Pharisees misinterpreted the Bible. They weren't looking for a spiritual kingdom or a Messiah to come to save them from their sins, but they were looking for their own type of Messiah. They wanted a Messiah that would be just earthly, and he would save them from their oppression of the Romans. But the same thing happens to those who hear the word today who are hard-hearted hearers. What they hear is what they want to hear. Or they might perceive it, but they might perceive it one way, but they completely miss the boat when they hear it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The next type of soil Jesus speaks of is the rocky soil. He states in verses 5 and 6, "Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root in it, it withered away." A seed needs room to grow. It needs room to grow underneath the soil. This is why farmers today pick rock so that the rock will not hinder the growth of the plant. Yes, if the rocks were left there, the rocks would become warm, and it would make the plant spring up quickly. And from our eyes, it might seem, well, that's good that that plant is springing up so quickly. But because this ground was shallow, had very little dirt, there's a lack of moisture within this plant. And when the sun comes, it dries up and it withers away. Jesus explains in verses 16 and 17 that these rocky soil hearers have impulsive hearts. Instead of being unresponsive, they receive the word and accept it with joy. It springs up. And for a very short period of time, for a short period of time, outwardly it may seem like the Holy Spirit has worked in their hearts and that they have made some sort of genuine confession of faith. But if we had x-ray vision, if we could see within their hearts, we wouldn't see a change. We wouldn't see the Holy Spirit transforming their hearts, and any type of love they may have is very shallow. Yes, the word has found a home within their minds, but it has not really taken root within their hearts. And with this lack of root, just like when the sun beats down upon a plant that has very little moisture, when persecution and tribulation comes the way of this type of hearer, that joy quickly disappears just as quickly as it springs up. Many of these hearers may have come to God with wrong motives. They might have thought, if I become a Christian, my life will be better. My problems will go away. These impulsive hearers are looking for a gospel that's their best life now. But as soon as they don't get what they thought they were going to get, as soon as suffering and doubt comes their way, they quickly recant their quote-unquote confession. Sometimes that persecution comes from the outside. They have the weight of the world upon their shoulders. They have friends and family and loved ones making fun of them, persecuting them for being a Christian. And their only way of getting rid of this discomfort of persecution is to give in to the world. They feel cornered and feel no other way to go but back to the world. For sadly, for some of these hearers, their reputation and their life is far more important than any sort of love they had for the Lord. A real life example of this would be of someone who may have been called up to the front by an altar call and asked to say the sinner's prayer. This hearer makes a quick confession of faith because of emotional manipulation or wanting something from Jesus. Now, some of these confessions may be genuine, but for some people, the emotion wears off. They realize that they aren't going to get what they wanted from Jesus. And once they realize this, once the attacks come, they walk away from the Lord. And I'm sure many of you have seen this at one point in time where someone made a confession and it seemed genuine and they left. But they didn't leave with indifference, but left with anger. And it led them down a road of atheism. And it's a very sad thing to see. But we can look at the scripture and we can see an example of an impulsive heart here. We can look at Mark 11, when the people were chanting, "Hosanna in the highest." But what did they do in the next few days later? They were chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." One commentator calls this type of hearer, or quote-unquote Christian, a fair-weather Christian. One minute they are all for Jesus, and the next minute They are right back to the world. Now it must be noted that even though they may seem like genuine believers, you must not look at them as true believers who lost their faith. For true believers cannot lose their faith. Their turning away from the Lord only shows that they hadn't truly understood their sinfulness. They haven't truly repented and put their trust in the Lord. 1 John 2:19 speaks of those who walk away. The Apostle John says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Now we have our third and final unfruitful soil. And Jesus speaks of this as the thorny soil. In verse 7, Jesus says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop." I'm sure many of you know how awful weeds can be. Whether if you have a garden or just look out in your yard, they grow pretty quick, don't they? Well, when weeds grow and they get tall, they can block out the light of a seed. They can wrap themselves around a plant before it produces any type of fruit. And it chokes it until it dies. Now in verses 18 and 19, Jesus explains that these thorny soil hearers are the preoccupied hearers. They get caught up by the world and the cares of it. Have you, any of you ever heard someone say, "Well, I would worship, but I have to work on Sundays, so I'm not going to be able to make it." Or that they say, "You know, I would read the Bible more, but family, I'm just so busy with family, I can't read the Bible." But really what they are saying is that they're too busy to truly trust and love Christ. They get caught up with life. And in our passage, it speaks of the cares found in it. These cares speak of present-day worldly matters. This could be debt. This could be family issues. It could also be work as well as paying bills. But now, these things aren't evil in themselves, and we do need to take care of them. But they cannot steal away. They cannot choke out our love and our focus away from Jesus Christ. Now, the second weed that we as Christians must always watch out for is the weed of deceitfulness of riches. This type of weed causes hearers to place their focus and their desire upon riches and material objects. They may believe that searching for the better car or the better phone or the better wife, then their life will be happy. Then they will have true joy. But in reality, these things, these objects, and the pursuit of them have become their idols. For we know that true happiness, true joy, cannot be found in what we have, but it can be only found in Christ. In Mark 10, we have an example of a preoccupied hearer who had been ensnared by the weed of riches. In Mark 10, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, knowing that his riches had become his idol, Jesus says to him, "Give away what you have." But what this rich young ruler did is he left disappointed. And why did he leave disappointed? Because he chose his riches, earthly riches, over spiritual riches, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Now, the third type of weed that we must watch out for are the other things, or the remaining things. And these things are not material objects, but more of sinful and lustful desires. Yes, there are some that search for joy in what they have, but there are some that pursue their sins and their lusts, thinking that that will grant them true joy. Their focus may be turned away because of either alcohol or drugs, or even the pursuit for different sexual partners. But as time goes on, they realize that those things will not grant them everlasting joy. And we know that everlasting joy, and that comes from Jesus. Now that we have looked at these three unresponsive, or not necessarily unresponsive, but unfruitful soils. But Jesus speaks of one fruitful one in verse 8. He says, "But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Good soil is soft. It's been broken up. It is not like a paved road or the wayside road that was spoken of in this passage. It has enough room to grow, both underneath the ground, but also above the ground. But even though we know from corn, some ears of corn have more kernels than others, the important thing is that it is producing crop. And good soil will produce crop until the harvest comes. Jesus explains that these hearers are the responsive hearts. When these sinful and undeserving hearers hear the gospel, by God's grace, the Spirit transforms and works upon their hearts so that when they hear the word, they respond in faith and repentance. Yes, Satan will try to plant doubt within their hearts. They will be attacked for the sake of Christ, outwardly by friends in the world. But they'll never turn away from the one who saved their very soul. The Spirit will preserve these hearers and preserve you, even through the harshest of sufferings, through the hardest of persecutions. But these hearers not only persevere, but their will is transformed. At one point in time, they did pursue sins. They did pursue the world and the things found in it. But now their will is in conformity to God's will. And just like good soil, like a farmer needs to properly prepare the ground for the harvest, so do we need the Word of God. We need to come here each and every Sunday to worship, to fellowship. We need to pray not only publicly, but privately. And through those things, the Spirit works in us. It nourishes our hearts. It takes away the weeds that we may struggle with, may take away some of the hard aspect of your heart that when you hear a certain teaching in the Bible that you just can't quite get it, the Spirit will work in you and soften your heart so that you will accept it and respond to the Word, no matter how difficult it may be or sound. Now, the most important thing, even though we know that some crop will produce better than others or more than others, the important thing is that it is producing fruit or a crop. Beloved, don't fall into this trap. Don't question your salvation. Don't question whether you are necessarily bad soil or thorny or stony because of the fact that someone might pray more than you, or that someone might read the Bible more, or for the fact that you go to one service and they go to two. The important thing is that as believers, you will produce fruit. You will pray. You will read. You will do those things that are fruits of a true believer. Now, what should you do? You should want to grow. You shouldn't want to be stuck in only reading the Bible once a week. But you should pray that the Spirit will work in you and that you will grow to become more and more like Christ, putting off that old man that died upon the cross and putting on that new man that is in Christ and that has been risen with Christ. Pray for the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work within your hearts. A great example from Scripture of a responsive hearer is the Apostle Paul. He was once a hard-hearted man who hated Christ, hated those who followed him and persecuted them, wanting to throw them into prison. But as soon as he heard the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit softened his heart and he became a responsive hearer. And by his grace, he remained faithful, doing the will of the Lord. He faced persecution. He was stoned on multiple occasions and even left for dead on one occasion. But even though he went through that, he continued to persevere because of the grace of God. And even though he struggled with sin, he still produced fruit. Now, what the Word is telling you today is to examine yourselves. We are to examine ourselves. Let me ask you a few questions here. Do you have no desire for the Word of God? Does worship seem like a waste of time to you? Do you hate Jesus? Do you hate the good news? Or did you once have that great joy and it has disappeared because of doubt or because of persecution? Has Satan blinded you from trusting the Bible promises that God gives us in His Word? Or outwardly, are you being pressured by friends, family, and loved ones to forsake Christ? Or is life distracting you? Are the cares of this world choking the life out of you? If so, repent and trust in the Lord. But know this, that the Spirit, even though your heart may be hardened, God can soften that. Although you may have stones in your life, God can remove those. If you have thorns, He can remove those as well. But trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, because if the Spirit works upon us, we'll have that wonderful gift of the benefits that the rich young ruler gave up. We will have everlasting life. We will have the forgiveness of sins. Beloved, have you received the Word of God? Have you persevered even through the toughest afflictions? Do you desire God's will? If so, praise God that He has made you good soil. Now, if you are bearing fruit, you know that you can have confidence that you are in God's family. Yes, there are going to be moments. Don't be confused. There will be moments that your heart may be hardened to some sort of aspect. There might be times when persecution comes and you might not say something when you ought to say something. And there are often times that we get distracted. We don't pray as we should. We don't read the Bible as we should. But know that just because you have those struggles does not mean that you are not good soil. But what you should do is pray that the Spirit will continue to work in you and that you'll have more fruit each and every day. Cherish those wonderful gifts that we have. We live in the United States. We have the blessing to be open and hear the Word and pray and give thanks to God that He has softened your hearts. And know this, that you will be kept no matter what harsh or struggles you may be going through, but you will be kept until that day of harvest when Christ returns. Amen. Lord our God, we thank you for your word and your truth. We pray that you will work upon our hearts to have that confidence and that assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we have been purchased and bought by your blood and that we are precious to you, and that is why by your grace you have sent your Son for your glory, but also that you would save a people according to your will. And we thank you so much for the life that you have given us. Please continue to be with us through our struggles and hardships. And may we continue to praise you for the great gift of salvation and everlasting life that you have been given to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.